Take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. And that is God's word this morning. This morning, as God would have it, I am assigned to preach the world's most famous New Testament verse, John 3:16. And in order to accomplish this sacred task, I will address the text by asking three fundamental questions regarding it. Question number one: what did God mean when he said that he loved the world? What did God mean by that term, world? Question number two: why did God so love the world? Question number three: why is belief in Jesus the only way to heaven? Those are three very weighty questions, questions that deserve an answer. Incredibly weighty. And you must have correct answers prior to ending this life on earth. May not be popular in today's culture, but my job as a minister standing before the Lord Jesus Christ is to deliver those answers to you. I am merely a messenger. So let's get to it. First question number one: what did God mean by the term world? He meant humans. God does not want humans to die and go to hell. God does not rejoice in humans dying and going to hell. Instead, God loves humans and offers them the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Humans of every race, humans of every ethnicity, height, ability, disability, God loves humans. 1 John 2:2 puts it this way: and he, Christ himself, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Jesus did not die for trees. Jesus did not die for animals. Jesus died for humans. When I was a child, I saw a movie entitled All Dogs Go to Heaven. As a teacher of God's word, I want to make it crystal clear this morning that animals do not go to heaven. There's a lot of confusion. A large part of it is because of biblical illiteracy. Animals do not go to hell. The reason for this is because, unlike humans, animals do not have souls. I was once asked to do a funeral for a dog. I refused. That's where we are. There are many couples having dogs instead of kids, intentionally. That's our society today. Animals do not have souls. For this reason, we do not hold funerals for animals. Yes, they may serve as pets, and our kids may enjoy them, but dogs and cats do not have souls. When life ends for animals, they simply biologically decompose. As a result of them not having souls, animals are not given personhood by God. Stay with me. This is very important this morning. Humans, on the other hand, are made in the image of Almighty God. God gives us personhood. We have souls. And our personhood makes murder a terrible crime. Conversely, in Genesis 9, God permits humans to kill and eat animals. Humans are not animals. Humans are not primates. Humans are not a different type of monkey. What are humans? Humans were made distinctly by God from the dust of the ground, and unlike animals, we were made in the image of God. This is why humans are given funerals while animals are served as meals. This is also why animals cannot sin. Humans have souls and are thus accountable for their sins. From the moment a child is conceived, as we heard in that last scripture reading, from the moment the child is conceived, it says in Ephesians, he is by nature a child of God's wrath because he inherits Adam's sin. This has traditionally been known in Christian theology as original sin. It's a biblical fact. We all have it. And this is why verse 18 of today's text says that without a Savior, human beings are condemned already. Due to original sin, condemnation from divine wrath is humanity's default state. Animals, however, do not have souls. Thus, they cannot sin. When a tomcat impregnates multiple female cats, he is not sinning. When a black widow spider kills and eats her mate, she is not sinning. When a lion kills another male lion and conquers his pride of females, he is not sinning. He is not coveting, he is not murdering, nor is he committing polygamy. Why? Because animals do not have souls. And without a soul, the creature is not capable of sinning. Animals do not have souls. Animals do not sin. Animals do not go to heaven or hell. Sins and crimes result only from a soul that is accountable to the justice of God. And in all of physical creation, the only creature to have a soul is the human. Thus, humans made in the image of God are granted personhood since conception. And this is why, as Christians, we believe that life begins at conception, and why abortion is such a horrible sin. Since we are God's special creation, John 3:16 states, He loves us enough to be willing to die for us. In like manner, we are to love God and secondly, other humans. Did you hear me on that? We are to love God and secondly, other humans. We are to treat animals kindly, but we are not to love animals. Love is to be reserved for God and fellow humans. That might not, I think a lot of you hear that, and that seems like a novel concept, but it's scriptural. But what happens when we lose faith in the Bible, belief in God, belief in Genesis, and belief in John 3:16? What happens? What happens when we throw out God and settle for atheism, aliens, and evolution? What happens when we no longer believe that God made man, but that instead monkeys and primates are our ancestors? What happens when Adam and Eve are no longer believed to be our ancestors and we believe that humans are simply another type of animal? What happens when personhood is no longer restricted to only humans? Last month, in fact, just last week, in 2 weeks ago, in February, the New York Times ran an obituary entitled Stephen Weiss, Champion of Animal Rights, is Dead at 73. Now, some of you may know, the New York Times carefully selects individuals for their obituaries. Most of us will never get an obituary in the New York Times. Often, the life of the individual spotlighted aligns with the values and worldview of the editors of the New York Times. I want you to listen to the New York Times. Stephen Mark Weiss was born on December 19, 1950 in Baltimore. He earned a Bachelor of Science degree in chemistry at the College of William and Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia in 1972. His involvement in campus anti-war movement sparked a concern for social justice and led him to study law at Boston University, where he earned a degree in 1976. He has taught at prestigious schools such as Harvard University. In 1980, after a friend gave him a copy of Animal Liberation, A New Ethics for Our Treatment of Animals, by the Australian philosopher Peter Singer, Mr. Wise was transformed from a personal injury and criminal defense lawyer into a crusader for animal personhood. He has spent the last 36 years of his life working toward a single goal, to have certain animals recognized as persons under the law. As crazy as that sounds, Mr. Weiss has spent the majority of his professional life fighting in courts for certain animals to be recognized as persons and to have legal rights. He started with chimpanzees, included elephants, dolphins, orcas, and honeybees. In a 2005 lecture, Mr. Weiss explained himself by saying, quote, "Certain species are capable of complex emotions, can communicate using language, and have a sense of self, all characteristics that once defined humanity," end quote. He continues, quote, "I don't see a difference between a chimpanzee and my four-year-old son," end quote. That is a scary statement. Take a moment to soak that in. An educated attorney cannot see the difference between his four-year-old son and a monkey. Friends, this is why faith in God, church, Bible study, biblical teachings, and worship all matter. You take it for granted until things like this happen. Without God, things get psychotic really quickly. Animals become persons. Humans are seen as animals. Men choose to become women. Women choose to become men. It all reminds me of the warning found in Romans 1:22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to beasts, birds, four-footed animals, creeping things. You see, until the day he died, the appellate courts ruled unanimously against Mr. Weiss. Many of them thought that he was crazy, just as many of you rightfully think. And his request that chimpanzees be granted legal status as persons, his request was continually struck down by the courts. The courts ruled, and I quote, "Unlike human beings, chimpanzees cannot bear any legal duties, submit to societal responsibilities, or be held legally accountable for their actions," end quote. The demand for animal rights has disturbed many numerous legal scholars, prominent among them Richard Posner, a former federal judge who taught at the University of Chicago. Listen to what Judge Posner said. Quote, "If we fail to maintain a bright line between animals and human beings, we may end up treating human beings as badly as we treat animals," end quote. Now, I agree with Judge Posner, because we slaughter and eat cows, pigs, deer, some country dogs, and other animals. But here's the bottom line. Without Genesis 1:27 as your foundation, without God the Creator as your starting point, just how exactly do you logically maintain that bright line between animals and human beings? If one believes that humans are simply a type of evolved primate, then the unquestionable fact is that there is no real bright line between animals and humans. None whatsoever. Mr. Wise knew that. And that is why he kept pushing his case in court year after year. We can atheistic judges can create an imaginary, arbitrary, bright line, but without belief in the three invisible realities of the human mind, the human soul, and God, there are no real viable answers for questions such as, why is murder a crime? If you go out to Africa and visit a safari, it's actually illegal for you to intervene in an animal killing. You're the criminal if you intervene. But if humans kill, why is murder a crime? Aren't we another type of animal? Why is it okay to eat a beefsteak? Why should rapists be punished? Or as Mr. Wise himself stated, what is the difference between a chimpanzee and a human four-year-old? Without God, I'm telling you, there are no viable answers to those questions. I challenge you to give me one. Christians, on the other hand, can stand on the word of God and say, the Bible informs us that humans are not animals. Instead, we were made separately and directly from the ground by God in his image. And as a result, humans, unlike animals, have souls, personhood, and are intrinsically worthy of life, liberty, dignity, and respect. And while evolutionary science, so-called, demotes man to animal, God promotes man to his image. This knowledge enables us to have human funerals, fight for human rights, implement criminal justice, send in our troops for righteous causes all around the world where human rights are violated. Think about this. The bad guys have the same camel and carry the same guns. The only reason why we're the good guys is because of our moral values. We get it from Scripture. And we go on and on with all of this, all while eating animals without guilt, because we have the Bible that tells us so. We have a meal catered, we will be serving animals. Friends, these are massive truths often taken for granted because they all hinge on belief in God and His Word. So this brings us to our second question based on today's scripture text. Why did God love humanity? And the answer is for His own glory. God loves humanity for His own glory. He does not love us because we are so lovable. God did not love us because we were so great. God did not love us because we were righteous and we were holy. In fact, the opposite is true. While we were yet sinners, Christ loved and died for us. That is unspeakable love. And you and I all know that sinners face the wrath of Almighty God. I want you to listen to John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God abides on unbelieving humanity because we are all sinners in need of a Savior. God does not have that sort of wrath toward animals because, as I already mentioned, animals cannot sin. Although God made His original creation good, when Adam sinned against God, the result of that sin was death entering into the world. As a result of Adam's sin, animals also now die and suffer from disease. Adam was a ruler. He was a king, if you will. And as goes the king, so goes the kingdom. Being made in God's image, Adam was loved by God. God made man to hold a special place, second in command over all creation. Man was to have dominion over all creation. But when Adam rebelled against God, all of creation fell into suffering as well. Amazingly, God loved the rebel so much, He gave his son to die for him. And this is amazing love. To cap off this section, marvel on the fact that as we celebrate Easter all around the world in three Sundays, Jesus Christ in the resurrection, God decided to resurrect with a male human body. The Bible teaches that the second person of the Trinity will be fully God and fully man for all of eternity. This is important for two reasons. Number one, it informs us to embrace and appreciate our genders because your biological sex will be your eternal one at the resurrection. I know there's a lot of confusion about that out there, but that's what Scripture teaches. And ultimately, both God and biology will win. I believe in science. Your science dictates either XX or XY since birth. That's the bottom line. Second, it informs us just how much God loves humanity. You know, it humbles me incredibly to think about the fact that Jesus chose to be human just like me and remained that way for all of eternity. That is humbling. God condescended himself and became man. You tell me whether or not we hold a special place in God's heart and creation. This is why one day humans, believers, not unbelievers, I'll get to them in a moment, but believers will one day judge angels. And this is why we call the Lord Jesus Christ my brother. Christ is my brother. What an honor. He made us his brothers and sisters when he died on the cross as one of us, bearing the impossible burden of our sin and God's wrath for us. In being born in a manger, Jesus became human. In resurrecting as a man, he chose to remain bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. The eternal Son, born a man, who lived and died for the sins of Christians, who rose bodily in the power of the Holy Spirit, will soon share his eternal inheritance with us. Wow. You just got to keep the faith. So easy to lose the faith these days. There's a lot of lies out there. I want you to listen to Hebrews 2:11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers. And because Jesus is our brother, that prayer we prayed right before my sermon is accurate. What prayer? The one that begins, "Our Father, who art in heaven." Yes, because of Jesus, God is now your Father. Jesus, your brother. God, your Father. This is amazing. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Hallelujah. Finally, third, final. Why is belief in Jesus the only way to heaven? The answer lies here in verse 18. "He that believeth on him," Jesus, "is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The reason why there's only one way to heaven is because there's only one God. I want to state something first. If there's a God, if there is a creator, you may or may not like it, but he gets to set the rules. You could complain, it won't help, but the bottom line is that if God is God, he sets the rules. He did it in the Garden of Eden. He put a tree, "Thou shalt not eat." you eat, you shall die. We rebelled, we died. Those were God's rules. But in the mercy of God, he decided to save some of us. He didn't have to. God as creator mercifully gave us his son to die for our sins. We cannot make up a religion and then expect that it, our own creation, will expect that religion to pay for the penalty of sins that a just God will hold accountable for us. Think about it in the human realm, in this worldly realm. We can't commit a crime and then create our own expiation. In other words, I murder someone, but I'll do 100 hours of helping the elderly, and that should take care of it. No, we don't do that. We don't judge the law. The law judges us. We cannot make up a religion and say to God, well, that should suffice. God has made only one way to go to heaven, only one way to pay for humanity's sin, and that's through Jesus Christ. Listen to Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. That verse is why there are Christian missionaries all over the world today as we speak. These men and women have left the comforts of the United States in order to bring the gospel, which I will share with you in a moment, to lost men and women all around the globe. It's the most important work on the planet. Sinners who die without faith in Jesus Christ will die and certainly go to hell. Sometimes people argue, and you may have heard this, it's not fair that God sends people to hell for simply never having heard the gospel while they were alive on earth. Pastor, it's not their fault. But you see, listen, God never sends people to hell for not hearing the gospel. He sends people to hell because they are sinners and he is a just God. If you're in a burning building and you don't know there's a fire, just because you don't know there's a fire doesn't mean you won't die from the flames. A just and holy God must send sinners to hell, much the same way a good judge has to condemn convicted criminals to prison. When judges don't, chaos breaks out. Cities fall apart. Law and order are the precursors to liberty. That's a sermon for another day. But you cannot have liberty unless you first have law and order. What makes John 3:16 so amazing is that in his mercy and love, Jesus voluntarily decided to die for believers. I want you to think about that. In Christian theology, who else rebelled against God? The angels, the fallen angels. Did God die for any of them? Not a single one. Is God just in that? Absolutely. It's his prerogative. He didn't have to die for a single rebel human. But he did. He did. God died for humanity. Satan and his crew are all doomed to an eternal hell. Yet in his mercy, he could have let Adam and Eve and their descendants all die and go to hell and be damned in hell, and he would have been perfectly just in doing so. But God, in his great mercy and compassion, he will save, as John 3:16 states, listen to me, he will save whosoever will believe in the gospel while he or she is alive on earth. That's right, God's gift of salvation, his free gift of salvation, is only available to you for a limited time. Once you die, it is too late to be saved. And I want you to listen to this gospel this morning as I close, because it is the only message which, believed upon, will save you from eternal hell and give you eternal life. It is the most precious message in the entire world. The gospel will make God your Father and Jesus Christ your brother. And the Apostle Paul once said this about the gospel, Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." Here's the gospel. Point number one, there is an eternal God who exists in three persons. Not three gods, three persons, one God. We call this the Trinity. The Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He spoke and he created the universe from nothing. He made man in his own image, distinct from animals. He gave man a soul. And though he made Adam and Eve good, they rebelled against God and sinned against him. And therefore, as a result, all of us, their descendants, we inherit what's known as a sinful nature. We are not sinners because we sin, but rather we sin because we are sinners. By nature, it's what we do. And as a result of our sins, we deserve eternal punishment in hell. A just God must condemn sinners to eternal hell. And that is the bad news. There's only heaven or hell, no purgatory after we die. You're headed to one of two real places. I guarantee you this. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We all shall die. Heaven or hell. And sinners deserve eternal punishment in hell. But listen to me on this. John 3:16, the great news of that verse, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus. He lived a sinless life, and then he died on the cross and paid for the sins of those who would believe in him." Resurrecting, as we will celebrate in 3 weeks on Easter Sunday, proving that he indeed is God, justifying all who will believe in him. So that lastly, point number four, if you will repent, turn from your sinful life, and put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord, your God, and your Savior, you have eternal life. The moment you believe, you are born again and you are a Christian headed to eternal life. That is the gospel. And I urge all of you, within the sound of my breath this morning, it's not an accident that you're here. I urge you to believe. Let's pray.